Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 349 of Geek Town Radio. We are back once again after an extended break whilst I was on holiday. But I have with me...
To infinity and beyond!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm very good, David. Good to have you back.
Yes,
how's it going?
It's nice to be back. It was... I think this is probably the longest we've ever actually been off.
Yeah,
you know, because it's been almost a month with the sort of time differences and stuff. So, yeah, I'm glad to be returning. I had a lovely time away in America, which was where I was away on holiday. So what have you been up to the last few weeks then?
Oh, well, by the way, in that time, I think in the first couple of weeks, I haven't got it anymore, but I got COVID. So you went off to America and I got COVID.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, but no, I'm all good now.
Good.
So other than that, yeah, I kept forgetting to ask you this. I remember finishing Foundation. Obviously, that was a couple of months ago, maybe. And I kept forgetting to ask you on Geek Town Radio. So I watched Foundation, of course, as well. I got caught up with the first season. You'd seen it when it was actually coming out, didn't you? I watched
yes.
it like a while afterwards. And I like really got into it a lot. And I, you know, was talking on, I think, a podcast a while ago about comparing it to other sci-fi shows and stuff. The one that kind of like, the one sort of recent example of a big sci-fi show is obviously something like The Expanse. Where would you sort of put Foundation with other shows, like specifically with The Expanse? Do you think Foundation's better than that show? Or where would you kind of put Foundation with other sci-fi shows?
It's difficult to compare it to The Expanse because The Expanse is sort of a full ended thing.
Yeah.
I think it's probably closer to something like Westworld in the way that it's structured.
Right.
In terms of the sort of very complex storytelling. I would think that's a closer analogy for me.
Yeah.
The way that the story is constructed in both of those, with particularly with the sort of messing around with time and the sort of overall feel of it, it's something that you really have to concentrate and focus on. Whereas, yeah. I mean, there is a certain amount of that with The Expanse, but I would think Westworld is probably a better kind of comparable to it. In terms of sort of whether it's better or worse, I think they're all pretty much on a sort of par, I would say. I mean, The Expanse to me always ended in a way where I felt there was quite a lot more story they could still tell. And I mean, there is, because there are more books. But I mean, it finished that story arc, but there is a lot more you could do with that. I believe in the books, it jumps quite a lot forward. So there is potential for them to revisit The Expanse at some point in the future with an entirely new cast. With Foundation, I just thought it was a really interesting, solid first season.
Yeah.
They've got a lot going on with that show, and I'm so glad they kind of stuck with it and they renewed it. But it is very dense, and there is, you know, a lot of messing around with time and things in that, and thoroughly enjoyed it, though. I thought it was really, really solid. So I'm looking forward to the second season of that coming out.
Do you think that'll be next year for the second season?
I would imagine so, yes. I suspect we're a little bit off a second season landing. I don't know exactly, but I would think
and
more
likely. And you can't rush a show like that, especially.
Yeah, I mean, it's like sort of, it is like Westworld in that respect of it seems to be every 2 years just because there's so much, you know, CG work and all that sort of stuff to do on a show like that.
And to be able to like correctly write a show like that as well would take a hell of a long time, because it's not always about filming. People have to actually make these scripts, make them make sense, make character motivations make sense. And with a show like Foundation, that would be incredibly difficult. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it coming back as well. I really, really did enjoy it. I didn't quite anticipate enjoying it as much as I did. I remember, of course, when you talked about it at the time, and I thought, yeah, this sounds like a really, really good show. And of course, as I started picking up more Apple, because I picked up Apple TV Plus after like its launch and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I picked it up and started watching things. I was like, oh, they've got like a really, really good library of shows, and they're starting to pick up a better track record. And I thought, oh, maybe that will like increase my chances of liking Foundation, and it did. So it's really good. There are other sci-fi shows that I need to get back to. I've seen the first two episodes, I think, but For All Mankind, but I'm not in like a major rush to get to that yet. So,
yeah,
but I will do it eventually. So that'd be good, because I'm just here, especially this fourth season that's like currently airing, isn't it? I'm just hearing endlessly good things about it. So
yes,
sounds like another good show. Sticking with sci-fi stuff. So I did go and finish all of Star Trek Discovery season 4. Very, very different to watch that at like random times with the box set stuff and have all the episodes available, because the previous three seasons was always like on the Friday, whether it was a Friday morning or Friday night or whatever. Mm-hmm. For the first three seasons, it was like every Friday for a week for about, what, 13 weeks. So it was very different to watch season 4 in a very different way. But of course, there's the other one. Obviously, Paramount Plus put out Strange New Worlds. A bit different, but I understood that it would be different. From what I understand, this is a bit more of like classic sort of Star Trek, which is yes, absolutely fine. It took me a couple of episodes to kind of warm to it and get used to this cast. Obviously, the thing that kind of helped is that you did have Pike and Spock already there, because obviously they were sort of put into, was it season 2 of Discovery? Season 3?
Yes, season 2,
I can't remember which one, but yeah, when they were implemented in there, and then they were moved to their ship that they're in now. So those characters kind of helped me get into that a bit more, and like things are a bit different. That is a bit more like classic Star Trek, and more sort of exploration focused. I think one of the show's biggest strengths, which I think is a struggle at the start, but again, gets kind of more into things. There's this really interesting sort of like chemistry and like dialogue and stuff between Pike and Spock, because Spock's obviously a bit more like, let's say, kind of unaware of like human emotions and things, the way that he like goes about things and all that, and Pike is a bit more, let's say, socially aware, I suppose. Yeah. And that creates some like really, really interesting conversations, particularly between Spock and his partner and everything, and then like Pike gets involved with that in certain scenes. That's really good. The rest of the crew, like I said, are really good. They've done some good work with that cast as well. So it's still kind of very early days. We've only, what, like 6-7 episodes or something into this like first season, so it's still very early. But it's good, because I watched the pilot episode obviously when that came out, and I thought, oh, that was okay, that was a bit rough. But maybe it wasn't just rough, maybe it was me sort of like completely detaching from the Discovery crew and moving over this whole new thing.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that first episode is sort of them trying to set everything up, and it isn't the greatest episode, that first episode. I think, because it's sort of them setting up, them going on this new mission and getting Pike to come back to the ship and all that sort of stuff. So I think it does take a couple of episodes to find its feet, but I really, really like that show. I think it's a solid, it's well-written, funny, very much in the vein of the original Star Trek. It's the only show to actually use the original Star Trek theme as well.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Redone by the brilliant Jeff Russo. It's the first of the new Star Trek shows which he hasn't done the entire music for, but he's did actually redo the theme for it. But I thought that he did a wonderful job with that. So it is designed to invoke the original series.
The funny thing with the, you know, the Star Trek theme that you're mentioning,
yeah,
that they bring up as the title card comes up, I think the first time I properly heard that, there was an episode of The Big Bang Theory. Obviously, Big Bang Theory references a lot of this sci-fi stuff and all that sort of thing. And they've had, obviously, like Will Wheaton on the show and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the instrument was called, but there's an episode where, like, Sheldon falls out slightly with the group because he's, you know, Sheldon. And he gets this instrument out, which he is playing with his hands. And he was doing this, that theme tune part. And I can't remember at the time if he mentioned, like, oh, it was a Star Trek theme, or because that episode was a while ago. And then when I watched the pilot episode and that came up, that's where I made that connection,
yeah,
oddly. Because I, like, when I used to go around my nans and stuff when I was very, very young, there used to be like Star Trek on in the background, but I was probably doing other things because I was obviously very young, so I wasn't like paying attention at that point. So that's kind of the first time I'd oddly sort of heard that theme tune, like from some sort of Big Bang Theory episode. But yeah, that was pretty fun. So So the other things I've been watching, 911 luckily stayed on Sky for the most part. It sort of, there was a day when it sort of disappeared oddly from the thing. We had the 18 episodes of the fifth season on Sky, and I remember at the time you'd mentioned it had come back, and I was like, oh, it went completely past me.
Yeah,
I think this season is a lot better than the previous one. For some reason, with the previous season 911, it just didn't click as much.
Yeah,
and the one of the kind of odd strengths with 911 is when obviously our main characters are being called in to help somebody, these are like red shirts that they get given, they say what their names are and stuff, but they're not like parts of main stories and that, but you really really care like if the team succeeds and these people live and you know all that kind of stuff. And for some reason that just didn't, I don't know what it was, it just didn't click in the previous season, but in this season I felt like they really got back their A game, so to speak. There's a lot of, there's some like connective tissue from the previous season with Angela Bassett's character. That stuff was like really really good, really sort of powerful as well, some strong stuff in there. I just felt like it got back to its strength and it was really really nice to see. I didn't think the previous season was bad, it just didn't click as well for some reason as the seasons. I know Lone Star's come out as well, but I've not gotten to that yet because I've only just finished the thing. There was a period on the Now thing where the days were counting down as to when it was going to be gone. It disappeared off of it, and I went to do a search on Now TV and I found the show on there and it said available with subscription, and for some reason on that day there was this glitch where I would click on it and it froze the whole box. and then the next day it was just back on there as if nothing happened. It was
yes,
it was quite strange,
technical issues. So, yes,
yeah, no, I find Now TV can be a bit finicky,
yeah,
and have a pretty bad layout, but anyway, have you caught the newest 911 season?
Yes, I've watched the whole of the 911 season this time around. I haven't started Lone Star either yet. 911 at the moment is still on Sky, but I strongly suspect that when that deal comes up, it'll end up going over onto Disney Plus because they've got Lone Star as well. And, you know, they're Disney shows. So it seems that they're both going to go back. They're Fox shows, but made by Disney. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, you've got some of the ABC shows like The Rookie, which isn't actually a Disney made show. It's a Disney co-production, but it's made with E1. So if you're worried about like all Disney shows disappearing or all ABC shows disappearing, that's not that we have that many of those over here. But The Rookie itself should be safe staying where it is because of the fact that it's a co-production and Disney don't have the international rights to it. E1 are the international distributor for that, so that should be staying on Sky. But I suspect 911 will go over onto Disney Plus with Lone Star as well. But I enjoyed the current season. I like the episodes when they theme them to a certain thing, you know, where they're, each sort of emergency is connected in some way, whether it's sort of, you know, death or love or I quite like the way that they do that with some of the episodes, and I think that's where it's one of its strengths when it does that.
The chemistry between the main cast is like incredible as well. And you've got the little boy, the son in the show as well. He's like really cool. So I'll tell you something about those shows as well. I don't know what budget they've got because I haven't like looked into that, but they go for broke when they do like set pieces. There's buildings that get destroyed. There's vehicles that crash into things. There's big catastrophes, and it isn't that they don't sort of do, you know, like how The Walking Dead kind of does like big episodes for its premieres and finales and then kind of does like build up stuff.
Yeah.
911 will do something big sort of like mid-season, and they have 18 episodes as well, or 18 usually sort of episodes or whatever. I'm like constantly impressed by, I mean, I don't know how much that stuff costs or how much money they've got. Obviously that is a cost thing. But it's really impressive what they're able to do. And they don't sort of turn it into like Sharknado or something. It very much feels kind of realistic and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's really, really good. Yeah. Anyway, that's most of the stuff that I've been up to, apart from a few other things that you've got. So what have you been up to, David?
Well, obviously I've been on holiday in America. I was in LA for 3 weeks. So my TV watching has been sort of rather lessened over those sort of 3 weeks because I've been out doing things. I did Disneyland and more importantly, I did California Adventure because I'd done Disneyland before and done the Star Wars section, but I actually managed to get onto there's a ride which had only just opened in Star Wars last time, which was it's something like it's the Rebellion ride. So there's one where you can fly in the Millennium Falcon and there's one where you're a member of the Rebellion trying to escape the Empire, and I couldn't get on that one last time because it had literally just opened and it was just book solid. But I went on, I managed to get on that. That's superb. You're basically trying to escape a planet and you get sort of shuttled onto this this ship, which if you've ever done one of the Star Tours things, it's basically sort of that. So they put you onto this ship and sort of you fly you out of off the planet and then get caught by the Empire and tracked to beamed onto an Empire ship, and the door on the other side of this pod that you're in opens and you walk out and you're on a Star Destroyer. And there's like stormtroopers all lined up and you're sort of being marched around, and then they take you into a little kind of car thing, and that's a sort of another bit of the ride where you're in this like pod and you're trying to escape through this Star Destroyer to get somewhere safe. But that was just brilliant. It's probably the best of those kind of rides I've been on. It's really well put together. California Adventure has the Avengers Campus, which wasn't open last time I went over there. So I really wanted to go and see that. I'd say not as impressive as the Star Wars Campus. They've actually just opened the Avengers Campus in Disneyland Paris as well, which actually from the footage I've seen looks like it might be a little bit better than the one that's in the California Adventure in LA. I don't know what it is, but I guess there's more iconic stuff to play with in Star Wars than there is with the Avengers in terms of the location. You know, there's a very distinct visual style to Star Wars, whereas there kind of isn't with the Avengers. But there was still some great fun stuff on the Avengers side. Like they have really good Spider-Man ride where you're kind of helping Spider-Man save this facility where his spider bots have kind of got wildly out of control. So you're using kind of web things to shoot them down, which was really kind of good fun. That's the big main ride there. The other thing is there is there's an old Disney ride called Tower of Terror, which is a sort of thing that kind of goes up and down, and they've converted that into a Guardians of the Galaxy ride, which is quite good fun, which is an escape out of this sort of prison with the Guardians. So that's quite good fun as well. So the rides were good. Outside, they do these set pieces where it's Spider-Man kind of flipping over building tops and stuff. There's sort of a guy in a Spider-Man outfit and they do kind of aerobatics over the top of the buildings and things, which is pretty impressive. And they do a thing with, I think it's Black Panther and Black Widow taking down Taskmaster. And they perform that on some of the roofs of the buildings and things as well. So there's all that stuff going on, which is quite good fun. They have a restaurant on the Avengers campus, which is Pim's Kitchen. And that was brilliant because it's using essentially the premise of it is that stuff has been kind of cooked using Pym particles. So you've got things like soup, but it comes with like one giant crouton. And they've got like burgers, which are really, really tiny. So they're like sort of bite-sized little burgers and stuff. So there's also, they've messed around with the sizes of all the food. That's quite good fun as well. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of fun things going on, but I know a lot of people wouldn't be able to go over to LA, but as I say, they've just have opened the Avengers campus in Paris, which might be a sort of viable thing for people to go and do fairly easily. Worth going to look at, certainly. I also built a lightsaber over in the Star Wars thing, which is something that I didn't get a chance to do last time as well. And that's really good fun. I mean, it's not cheap, but you do get a very solid, decent, well-built lightsaber out of it. And you get to kind of go in and build all the hilts from parts yourself. So they're all completely unique. There's lots of very cool stuff over in Disney. So I went and did that. I did a studio tour around Paramount as well, which mentioning The Rookie earlier. Interestingly, The Rookie films at Paramount, not at Disney's own studio. They've pretty much taken over half of Paramount to film The Rookie and The Rookie Feds, the spin-off series. Because I was looking through, they have a board as you go in to show you what's filming at the studio at the time of your tour, and literally half the stages were The Rookie running on there or The Rookie Feds. So I thought that was kind of interesting that that's where they're filming all that. I also went and saw a baseball game for the first time, which is it was an interesting experience. I mean, fairly enjoyable. Started off a bit slow, but, you know, kind of got into it towards the end. They do sports quite well. In terms of TV, I've caught up with Better Call Saul since I got back because it's on AMC over there and I was having problems getting a VPN to switch over onto Netflix UK. So I couldn't watch that until I got back. Those returning episodes have been spectacular. Spectacular so far. They're killing people off left, right, and center. Each episode is sort of wrapping up a plot point. You can tell that it's kind of coming to the end of the series. So, I've been really enjoying that so far. How's it been going for you? Because obviously you've been doing the Better Call Saul podcast solo for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been really, really brilliant. Obviously, we'll have a few things to talk about when you come back this week. But no, it's been brilliant. We're really like into that end game portion. Like, we only have four episodes left now, I think. So big things are happening that are putting things into place. It's really feeling like that end game point, and it's pretty amazing. And we're starting to get a few of those answers that we've been looking for.
Yes, you are starting to see how things are slotting into place and how they're removing characters and setting things up for that final stretch. So it's really been spectacular, that. And what else would you expect? But it's been really good. Miss Marvel also came to an end whilst I was over there. Those I did actually manage to watch because the Disney Plus account worked over there. So I did actually get to the end of that. Same apart from the fact that you don't get all the star shows on the US version. I really enjoyed that as a series. I thought they did a wonderful job, very inclusive stuff of the family without sort of being too over the top with it. Just a solid, funny, well-written series throughout. And she's so likable as that character. Just fits it brilliantly well. I mean, it's like Tom Holland. She was somebody that was a huge fan of the character before she actually started playing it and, you know, knew all the comic books and all this sort of stuff. So she's just wonderful in that role. And I'm looking forward to seeing her return in the Marvels.
Yeah, that was a really, really good show. Miss Marvel covered that when the finale came out. Was a couple of weeks ago now. Culturally, very important show, very interesting show for Marvel. Obviously, naturally, over time, when you run a cinematic universe for what, 14 something years, you start introducing different types of people, different people from different backgrounds. Obviously, we got Black Panther coming out as well, which is important for all that. Even as far as, you know, the dances at different weddings and the music and like kind of embracing that culture and stuff, I thought was brilliant. But as you said, even it's not like entirely about that. Obviously, there is a Marvel story to be told and a superhero story to be told. And they did a fantastic job with that. I've continued to really enjoy them introducing these new characters. Like, we had Moon Knight and we've had Miss Marvel on that. And, you know, Kate Bishop has come in and stuff. We're about to have obviously She-Hulk, so we're in a good time with the MCU right now, and especially with Miss Marvel. That was really enjoyable, really, really good.
Yes, we'll be talking a bit more about the MCU in the news, because of course it was San Diego Comic Con this weekend, so there's a lot of stuff that came out of that. The other thing was Stranger Things as well, which came to the end of its fourth season. Really solid again. They do such a wonderful job with that show, and I think they really nailed it again for the fourth season. I'm very much looking forward to the sort of concluding it with the fifth season, which is probably going to be a couple of years away, I think. But they actually talked about some of the things that there's a post on the website about sort of some of the stuff that they're doing after the fifth season, because there's a spin-off potentially coming, although it's not going to be anything directly related. It's sort of something else set in the same universe. And they've got a couple of other interesting projects lined up under their production company as well. So, I thought they did a stunning job with that full season.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. Obviously did a few podcasts on that. I did one a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, about Netflix and IP, and also taking a look at like what, because obviously they're in competition with, you know, HBO, Paramount, Disney, et cetera, and kind of taking a look at like, okay, Paramount's got very flexible IP like Star Trek. Obviously Disney's got massive, massive brands, Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, Fox. There's loads of stuff, even Star Wars alone and things like Marvel. There's so many things you could do with it. And I just don't know that Netflix has got as many of those things. And the thing is with doing, because we don't quite know about that, obviously they said about spin-offs and things. The thing with that is when people talk about Stranger Things and they talk about, you know, mostly the characters that, you know, these characters that we've grown up to love, and, you know, Popper and Elle and, you know, everybody in the show, how can you kind of like, I get that we don't know what the idea is yet, but if you drift away from those characters or you do something different, like how good is that going to kind of be? And I kind of pose two sort of questions about like, Okay, because some of the originals we started out with, like House of Cards, Orange is New Black, Sense8, things like that, they've all kind of finished and gone. Even in the immediate future, because Umbrella Academy's just shot out its third season, that won't be back for a while, Witcher kind of recently came out. So in sort of the next 2 years until 2024, let's say maybe summer 2024 when season five comes out, what does Netflix look like in those 2 years? Because even like Camp Cretaceous, which is a smaller show than that, but even I think that's just come out with its last season. What do they look like in those next 2 years? And certainly what do they look like after Stranger Things is finished? I think they've got potentially a bit of an IP problem. I mean, they lost all the, you know, the Marvel stuff. Obviously, that was a while ago, but they just don't have as many of those sort of big, and they started to do a few more like reality-ish sort of stuff. So
yeah,
and I get that people like shows like, you know, Too Hot to Handle or Is It Cake, and but those aren't going to do your sort of like Marvel and Star. Those aren't like Marvel and Star Wars level sort of things. Obviously, those aren't really our sort of things. If you like them, that's great. But I think they need some big kind of new hitters that are on those sort of big prestige levels.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think they're hoping things like The Sandman will do something for them, which I mean, they've just dropped a new trailer for that. They have still got the Miller World IP. They've got Roald Dahl.
What does that contain?
That's things like Jupiter's Legacy, but obviously that didn't work particularly well for them, unfortunately. But they have got a bunch of other things. I mean, unfortunately, the one big thing that Miller World had is Kick-Ass, and I actually think that's not part of the deal, I seem to remember, because of the fact that it had been somewhere else. And Kingsman is the other thing, but that, again, I don't think was part of this deal because it was somewhere else as well. But there are some other things. I mean, there's things like Chrononauts in their Huck, I think they're doing. American Jesus is one of theirs, which I think they're doing something on. So there are a few different things which they could potentially might get a hit show out of those.
Yeah.
Difficult to
I
know,
also but. Think with Umbrella Academy, it got kind of dumped out within Stranger Things, and I think it got a bit lost in the mix.
Yeah.
Although people that I've heard speak about, like you and that, have said they really enjoyed it, it didn't quite get the big buzz it probably should have.
Yeah.
But that's because everybody was talking about Stranger Things. So
yeah, I think they should have probably spaced that out a bit more.
Mm.
But timing's not necessarily Netflix's greatest point, but yes, they should have probably spaced that out a little bit more, but never mind. I didn't really enjoy that series as well. But
yeah, I'm about halfway through Umbrella Academy season 3.
No, it's been good. I think it's a really solid season, but like you say, just got a bit lost and buried under Stranger Things, and I'm surprised they didn't, you know, given that's one of their larger titles, they didn't space that out a little bit more. But they have got some other stuff going for them. It's just whether it's enough in terms of IP is difficult to tell right now.
Yeah,
that's all the stuff we've been doing for the last few weeks. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. Some of these were cancelled and renewed a while ago, so they're sort of covering the last 3 weeks or so. Night Sky was cancelled at Amazon after one season, which was a sort of sci-fi show, but my God, it was slow. I watched the first couple of episodes of it, but I just really, really struggled with that show. So I'm not hugely surprised, because I think it was probably quite expensive to create, and it's just very, very, very slow, unfortunately. So that's got canned after one season. Gentleman Jack has been cancelled by HBO, which was a BBC HBO co-production, I think that. HBO have dropped out of it. So cancelled after two seasons, but the creator is looking at ways of making a third season, whether that's with the BBC and somebody else or what, I don't know. But they are talking about possibly managing to try and save that. So it may not be entirely gone, but at the moment it is cancelled after two seasons.
So does that mean BBC still wants it, but HBO doesn't, so they're looking for a co-production partner?
That seems to be the implication, yes.
Right. So it's HBO that have said no, but BBC still want it.
Yeah, HBO have said they don't want it anymore. BBC, it seems, do, but they can't afford to do it on their own. So
okay, right.
We'll see whether anything does come out of that. That's the sort of thing where Netflix does sometimes step in, actually, you know, mm-hmm. because it's an established show. And that is one thing they are reasonably good at doing, is saving things that have fallen off somewhere else. Duncanville, which did air here, that's been cancelled at Fox after 3 seasons. A couple of more painful ones. Time Traveler's Wife cancelled after 1 season by HBO, which I was really upset about because I thought that was brilliant, that first season. And there's so many more places you can go with it. I think we were talking to Gray about it just before mm-hmm. in the podcast before we went up for the break. And we were talking about whether that was going to get renewed or not. And unfortunately, it hasn't been, because then not even, I think, through the book. It's not like the first season was the book and they were going to do something else. I don't think we're even anywhere near through the book from what he was saying. So it's such a shame that's not being picked up again, because I think Stephen Moffat did a wonderful job with that. And it's a shame it just didn't find an audience by the sounds of it.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, very, very good.
Thought it was really good. And Why Women Kill has been cancelled after 2 seasons by Paramount. So that will not be returning for a third season. I think that was originally picked up for a third season and then they changed their minds. So that's not coming back either. In terms of renewals, What If has already got a third season renewal, which is the animated alt-universe MCU series. That is going to be back for a third season, and second season is sort of well underway. I think they've said early 2023 for that. Wheel of Time has also been renewed for a third season before its second season has even aired. So that's going to be coming back. That's one of Amazon's big shows. Another early renewal for Resident Alien. That's going to be back for a third season, renewed by Sci-Fi in the US. Breeders has been renewed for a fourth season by FX and Sky, so that will be coming back. Only Murders in the Building, which is renewed for a third season by Hulu. I've got a few episodes behind on that as well, because I couldn't get that in the US because they don't have the Star thing and I didn't have access to Hulu. Mm-hmm. So that's back for a third season. I did enjoy the first couple of episodes I think I've seen of that.
I keep hearing people saying like, oh, didn't expect much from the show, but it's like really surprisingly good.
It is.
So yeah, it's like a surprise hit for people, I suppose.
Yes, it was one of those things that you thought, oh well, it's Steve Martin, Martin Short, you know, and Selena Gomez. I'm not sure what this is going to be, but it'll might uh-huh. be a bit sort of fun, distracting kind of, you know, little comedy. But it is really well put together. It's fun, it's funny, it's well thought through in terms of its plotting. Very much enjoying watching that. So I'm really happy that's back for a third season. For All Mankind renewed for a fourth season. It's the third season that's either finished airing or I can't remember, because I got a preview of it, so I'd already seen all of that season by the time
it aired
on Apple. But that has been renewed for a fourth season, which I'm very happy about, and it's going to have another 10-year time jump in it. So that presents an interesting sort of thing, because I think that will probably mean the fourth season will be likely the last season with the main cast in the sort of main roles. Otherwise, you're going to have like Joel Kinnaman in makeup playing a kind of 90-year-old astronaut, which doesn't kind of work, I don't think. So it's going to have to be a multi-generational thing. And they have brought in some younger characters, but it is going to be one of those shows that if it goes for sort of 6-7 seasons, you are going to have to lose some of those, more of those original cast members moving forward, purely because they age out of it if you're going to jump 10 years every time. But I really love that show. I'm glad that's coming back. Shetland has been renewed for an 8th season, but there is a caveat to that. Douglas Henshaw, who is been the lead for the first 7 seasons, is going to leave. So it's going to have a new lead actor for Shetland. That's the BBC show, that one. Criminal Minds has officially been revived. That's been on and off the cards for ages. There were rumours that they kind of changed their minds and they weren't going to do it, but they've officially ordered, I think it's a 10-episode series for Paramount Plus. Unlike the normal Criminal Minds that I think was a sort of case of the week thing, this one is going to be one case that runs over 10 episodes. If you're a fan of Criminal Minds, that will be an interesting revival series to look out for, and that's on Paramount Plus. Evil also on Paramount Paramount. That has been renewed for a fourth season, although over here it goes out on Alibi. And Magnum PI, while we're off, was saved by NBC, and they ordered 20 new episodes split into two seasons, so 10 episodes per season. So it's a much shorter run, but you know, sometimes that's a blessing in disguise, because yeah, there can be a lot of filler episodes in those sort of shows. So Magnum PI will be back on NBC. It probably won't move over here because of the fact that NBC and Sky are sister companies, so I should make zero change to where it airs in the UK. But yeah, it means it's moving from CBS to NBC in the US. That's good news. I know there was a lot of outcry when that got cancelled, so I'm glad that's got picked up. In terms of pickups and other news, they've announced that Vampire Academy, which is the new Julie Plec vampire series, Julie Plec being the person behind the Vampire Diaries, Originals, Legacies, all those Vampire Diaries shows, Vampire Academy is going to be airing on Friday, the 16th of September on Peacock UK. So that's the day after it airs on Peacock in the US. So for once, the Peacock shows are airing on Peacock on both sides of the Atlantic. Vampire Academy has no connection with the Vampire Diary stuff. It just happens to be another vampire show that Julie Plec liked the book. It's an adaptation of a book, and she liked the book. Actually, prior to doing Vampire Diaries, she liked the book, but couldn't get the rights to it. Now she got the rights. This was one of the first things she wanted to do because she's under a new deal with NBC, and this was the project that she picked to do it and launch that new deal with. It's described as a story of friendship, romance, and danger at St. Vladimir's Academy, which isn't just any boarding school. It's a hidden place where vampire royals are educated and half-human teens trained to protect them from the savage Strigoi vampires who would like to see them destroyed. So it's very much in that sort of teen vampire dramery kind of area that she does so well. So I'm sure that will be one to look out for if you're a Vampire Diaries fan. I mean, different book, different cast, not connected in any way, but certainly the same area. There was some casting announced for Black Mirror Season 6. Zazie Beetz, Papa Esadu, Joss Hartnett, Aaron Paul, Kate Mara, Danny Ramirez, Clara Rugard, Auden Thornton, and Ajayna Vasan were announced as being part of the cast for the first few episodes of Black Mirror Season 6. Don't really know any more about Black Mirror at this point because it's way, way too early to tell. Aaron Paul has actually voiced something in Black Mirror previously, so there is some suggestion that maybe they're going to go back to a story they've told before previously for the first time with Black Mirror. Whether that is true or not, don't know, but in season 4, the USS Callister episode, which picked up like 4 Emmy Awards, which starred Jesse Plemons in the lead role, that was the one about the VR gaming company that the guy was basically had created virtual copies of his staff and was abusing them in this sort of VR virtual Star Trek type world.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of that, there is a character that they encounter called Gamer691, which was voiced by Aaron Paul. So there is a suggestion that maybe they're going to go back to that universe and that episode, and maybe he's playing that character again. It may not be the case. It may be that there is something entirely different coming for that. Because one of the things, apparently, when they got him to do that voiceover role, apparently Aaron Paul is a huge fan of Black Mirror and said, look, I'll do the voice as long as it doesn't preclude me from going back and starring in another episode, because they'd asked him to be in that episode and he couldn't commit to anything more than a voice at the time because he was filming other stuff. And he basically said, look, I'll provide you a voice for it as long as that doesn't stop me from coming and actually being a character on screen in a later episode. So it could be that he's playing something completely new. It could be that they're going to go back to a story for the first time, but we'll have to wait and see with that. And the other bit of casting news was Ironheart, and Alden Ehrenreich has joined the MCU series on Disney Plus, which is Ironheart's the one about the young girl who creates the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man.
Yeah, Riri Williams is her name?
Yes, that's the character's name. So
that was the young Solo guy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And he was great in that film as well.
Yeah.
And the bosses at Star Wars, their takeaway from the fact that Solo didn't do as well as it was they shouldn't go back and recast the iconic characters. And you're like, no, that's not the problem that was the issue with Solo. Solo basically was a story issue and the fact that you messed around with the directors. The one thing that really worked in that was the casting was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Donald Glover was great. Alden Ehrenreich was great. You know, the casting was superb. So that wasn't the issue. That's entirely the wrong takeaway for that. There is no reason why you couldn't do a Solo TV series with Alden Ehrenreich taking that role over. You know, I mean, saying, oh, well, we shouldn't recast the classic characters, you kind of did that with Ewan McGregor, and that worked out okay. So, you know, I mean, I'm sort of, it was a weird statement from them to make, but anyway, I'm glad he's sort of still sticking with Disney and he's now going to be in the MCU. That's yeah. Good. Sticking with the Marvel stuff, it was, of course, San Diego Comic Con. They did a big panel. They announced some new things, but one of the big things they did was they announced what the overarching story was for the next few phases, and they also gave some date announcements for Phase 5 and Phase 6. So following on from the Infinity Saga, which was Phase 1 to 3, Phase 4 to 6 will be the Multiverse Saga, if you hadn't already guessed that by the amount of Multiverse stuff that was kind of hanging around. But I think that was fairly obvious that that's where they were going with it.
Yeah, especially with a film called Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness as well.
Yes, so, and the multiverse stuff that we had in the Spidey movie, and we know at some point they're going to need to introduce X-Men, and they've kind of hinted at that already in Miss Marvel. So there's things going on there, and the multiverse is a way of sort of potentially doing that. It's no great surprise that the Multiverse Saga is what that they're going with for Phases 4 to 6. Phase 5 starts with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, so that's 17th of February. We've then got Secret Invasion, which is the Disney Plus series that's coming spring 2023. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in 5th of May 2023. Echo coming in the summer. Then Loki Season 2 also in summer. That's followed by The Marvels, which is going to be the 28th of July. Blade now has a date. That's going to be the 3rd of November. Ironheart will be autumn 2023. Agatha, Coven of Chaos, that's going to be winter 2023. Daredevil, Born Again, which is a new, well, we kind of knew it was coming, but now has a official title. That's spring 2024. Captain America New World Order, that was also newly announced. That's on the 3rd of May 2024. And Thunderbolts, which was a new film, that is announced for the 28th of July 2024. So that's Phase 5 with Thunderbolts ending it, Ant-Man starting it. Then Phase 6, they've only got three things in Phase 6 at the moment. Obviously, that will expand over time, but they're three films. Fantastic Four, which is coming 8th of November 2024. That's the thing that's kicking it off right now. And it will end with two Avengers movies, just like the previous arc did. So that's going to be Avengers The Kang Dynasty, that's 2nd of May 2025, and Avengers A Secret Wars, that's going to be 7th of November 2025. So that is the plan at the moment. Of course, things move around, but that is the plan right now. Yeah, some interesting stuff in there. There's a few new projects and things that have sort of changed. You've got, as I say, Daredevil Born Again, which is the official title for the revamped Daredevil series. It takes its name from a classic Frank Miller run on the comic book. However, that comic book was used as the basis for season 3 of the Netflix series. So, although it's called that, obviously because it's the first one on Disney+, I rather suspect the storyline will be somewhat different to the comic book storyline. They've just kind of nicked the name, which I think is fair enough. The other one was Agatha Coven of Chaos, which they had announced that. That's the Agatha Harkness from WandaVision character. They had announced that series was coming, but it had a different name previously, so they've changed the name of that to Coven of Chaos. Captain America New World Order, of course, is Sam Wilson's first kind of big screen debut as Captain America. and the Thunderbolts, which is the sort of interesting newly announced one. Thunderbolts, if you don't know those, they are described as introducing an exciting new group of heroes. But assuming it follows the comics, the team mainly consists of reformed supervillains. That's sort of an interesting setup. It's going to be written by Eric Pearson, who's the guy that wrote Thor Ragnarok and Black Widow. In the comic books, so many people, there have been various versions of the team, but Baron Zemo was one of them. You know, we've seen him on screen. Obviously, Deadpool has been in there, Hawkeye, Bullseye, Green Goblin, Luke Cage, Ant-Man, Black Widow, Ghost, Crossbones, Punisher, Ghost Rider, so many more as well. So there's a lot of potential for them to pull some existing characters that we've already seen on screen into this. I don't know where they're planning on going with it, but you could make a case for this being their kind of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that's what I've heard about Thunderbolts.
It could be a really good, interesting, R-rated, out-and-out, really fun, over-the-top film. And given that you've got Eric Pearson writing, who wrote Thor Ragnarok, which was one of the best of the MCU films, just with over-the-top silliness, I think that could be really interesting. We'll have to see which characters they pull in. I mean, Zemo would be the obvious one, because I think he was the one that set up the first Thunderbolts team. That would be an obvious one to kind of pick up. But you have got other smaller characters that we've had around. Like, I mean, you could put Luke Cage in there. I can't remember whether Crossbones is still alive or not in the MCU at this point, but Punisher certainly would be one that you could pull across. Would be a good way of introducing him back in. Ghost, which was a Hannah John Carman character, you could put her in. You could bring back in Green Goblin, you could bring back in Bullseye. So there's a lot of potential there, I think.
Yeah, it was a really, really good showing from Marvel, to say the least. You know, when you go to SDCC, which is the big one, that's where you get your big Marvel and DC and whatever, and they come and one of them announced a bunch of things, the other one didn't really do anything. When you go to SDCC and you say, hey, here's a, like, we know about Fantastic Four, but here's a date for that, and oh, by the way, we're making two Avengers films and all this other stuff, but like, we're gonna lay out everything for you. The very interesting thing, because I did a podcast discussing DC and Marvel's thing where I had a bit of a moan about DC stuff, but there you go. If you think about, like, because you got reveals obviously at these conventions and stuff, like who's making what films, what are they going to be, how exciting is all this information. So if you think like about maybe like a poker game or something where you got your hand of cards, what you want to play, and they've got their cards for Avengers, they got cards for Fantastic Four, didn't even need to bring out the X-Men or Mutants card. That's one where like Marvel came out so strong and they're like, hey, here's two cards for two Avengers films. Okay, you know about Fantastic Four, but here's like when it roughly is. And like, oh, that Mutants card, you can just put that back in the pack and save that for later. Like, you don't even need that right now. And obviously they got D23 and other stuff coming up, but I found that very kind of like interesting how, because like X-Men and Mutants, like a massive, massive thing. And it's not just going to be just X-Men. You're going to have probably other mutants and stuff in the MCU because it's a big universe. But I thought that was really good. But just the way they've laid all this out and where this story is kind of going. And it's interesting with phase four, because I've looked at phase four in a particular way of like end of Endgame, end of phase three and stuff. Avengers are a bit kind of disassembled. You know, some of them have died. They've kind of gone off and done their own things and stuff. Obviously, you're going to see Hulk in the She-Hulk show and other things. And you've got Thor, who's still kind of knocking around. Hawkeye, who's, you know, getting to know Kate Bishop. And you started introducing like younger Avengers, but you've still got Doctor Strange, Captain America, these older characters, all these veteran sort of characters that are still around. You've got like a new Captain America set up as well. You're going to get a new Ironheart-esque sort of character, you know, another person with a suit. And I've sort of looked at that and thought, okay, you're reassembling the Avengers, kind of, and also possibly giving yourself another option with the young Avengers. You're also setting up the multiverse, which is a whole big deal in of itself. And you're going to eventually get to probably what, Galactus, Kang, Doctor Doom, all these other sort of things. So as much as like phase four so far of what we've seen has just been a rebuilding phase.
Yeah.
And I think audiences can get impatient and things, and you have to wait for you can't just like, hey, Avengers Endgame and then next year here's another Avengers film and keep going. You've got to sort of like pick the pieces back up and see where you are. So looking at all this kind of stuff and seeing where they're going, I've just sort of been sitting back and, you know, letting all this kind of happen. And just getting excited about, okay, Fantastic Four on the way. We know the Avengers getting rebuilt, multiverse. There's still so much going going on,
yeah.
And also like Eternals and things like that, like Celestial. So to me, it's not been boring at all. I've really enjoyed this like rebuilding phase and getting introduced to new characters. I love the way that they laid everything out.
Yeah.
And you get a better idea of things. I also like what films are kicking off and finishing the phases. I think those makes sense as well.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some moaning around about phase four, but I mean, you think back to phase one. Phase one was building up towards that Avengers thing.
Yeah.
So you've still got She-Hulk to come on the 17th of August. You've got Wakanda Forever coming on the 11th of November. Plus you've got What If, which sort of, I mean, I guess that's sort of outside, but that's coming early 2023.
That almost is like a multiverse MCU thing.
Yeah, which is a sort of multiverse thing anyway. You've
it's
also
kind of loosely connected, yeah.
Two things which have not been mentioned at all, which have been announced, was the Armor Wars thing, which was
War Machine.
War Machine in it, dealing with somebody stealing Tony's tech, I think, was the setup for that one. And the Marvel Zombies, which again is another sort of Elseworlds kind of thing. Those are actually missing for the lineup entirely right now. But it seems like that phase four will sort of end with Wakanda Forever. That's the last big film of that phase. But I've been fine with phase four. You know, you look back to phase one. Phase one was a building phase, obviously, because you had to build to the Avengers. Phase four has been a rebuilding phase because, you know, at the end of everything that happened with the, you know, Infinity Saga, you're having to rebuild and restructure things.
Mm.
So it's only what they did in phase one, in phase four, you know.
Yeah, they're actually the same. They're just doing things with different characters.
Yeah, but people know some of these characters now, so they're starting to get impatient. It's like, no, chill out. It's fine. We didn't really know all that much. I mean, we knew they were building towards the Avengers movie, but we didn't know all that much about exactly what was going on. And certainly the Thanos thing didn't pop up until much, much later. So just chill. Enjoy the stuff that's coming out. You know, we've now got a better direction of where things are going anyway. Your point about the X-Men, I wonder if they're going to introduce the X-Men in phase six, because they only have three films announced there at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of scope for them to put more things in at that point. So I'm kind of thinking that that's probably where you'll find those, I would have thought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all looking pretty bright, though, I think, over at Marvel. You know, Phase 5 looks pretty packed. Phase 6 has got a lot of scope to add some more interesting stuff in, and that will take us up to 2025. So lots of good things kicking around there, mm-hmm. I think.
Because with things like X-Men, you don't rush something like that. You don't sort of like, oh, we have to tell you a date because you're very late. It's like, no, you can, you're doing it, you said about Avengers, Fantastic Four, X-Men, all really, really big deals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you only want to kind of like say, okay, dates for those things, and obviously because the actual Avengers, the two films hadn't been announced, so those were like the big announcements, that means you don't like have to go, obviously SDCC, you know, big sort of thing, but you've already mentioned Fantastic Four, Avengers, you don't also have to come out with X-Men, you can just, you know, relax and kind of deal with that later.
I kind of feel like with X-Men as well, they probably want to make that announcement and announce the cast at the same time.
Maybe.
You know, I think if they're certainly, if they're going to say, okay, these are going to be the new X-Men, this is the person that's going to take over the role of Wolverine, they're going to want to be able to introduce those key characters, I would have thought, with faces. I mean, you kind of thought they might want to do that with Fantastic Four, but I mean, with Fantastic Four, it's slightly different with X-Men because there is a history to it. You know, they're going to want to, I think, probably be able to present a solid pitch for it and a solid plan to the public. So I rather suspect there will be some announcements at some point about X-Men, but and I suspect it will be for stuff in phase six because phase five is looking pretty packed at this point.
Yeah, you don't need to just shove X-Men into phase five.
No, I think phase six certainly would make sense, you know, with Fantastic Four, and you know, we know how it starts and how it ends, but there's a big gap in the middle of it, so we'll see.
I think ending four with Black Panther, because Black Panther's going to be a huge film, obviously that trailer was phenomenal. As well, it's interesting because we got the two trailers. Black Panther was like powerful and emotional, phenomenal, and obviously She-Hulk is meant to be more comedic, but that was like really fun and really great as well.
Yeah.
Plus that little tease of a certain someone was absolutely brilliant as well.
Yes.
Ending that with Black Panther and then going to like a Quantum Ant-Man film, like that's a pretty big deal. So
yeah,
Yeah. Should be very good.
Yeah, should be excellent. Yeah. Lots
what
of
what did you think of DC's stuff, by the way?
I barely saw any DC stuff from that. I mean, they had some trailers, I think. They did a trailer for Black Adam, they did a trailer for Shazam, but that was the only thing that I really noticed. There weren't any huge announcements as far as I'm aware.
No, they didn't announce anything.
So I was
apart from they said Zack Snyder's coming back, but for a Teen Titans cameo.
Which is whatever, you know. So this is not what you wanted to hear.
I mean, The Rock seemed like he had a good time. Dwayne Johnson, he had a good time on the stage.
I'm sure he did. And I love Dwayne Johnson. He seems like a wonderful human being. But I find it very difficult to get overly enthused unless they come out and said, okay, this is our plan, this is what we're doing, whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Which, and you're talking to somebody who is much more of a DC fan than a Marvel fan in the comic book world, but, So, moving on to other comic book stuff, there was quite a big Walking Dead announcement. There is a Rick and Michonne series coming to AMC, which sounds like it's basically replacing the much talked about Rick Grimes movies. So, rather than do movies, they're doing a series. What's quite interesting about this announcement is the press release specifically says the drama will begin with 6 episodes in 2023, implying that it isn't a 6 episodes and we're done thing, implying that it's going to be an ongoing show, not a limited series, which I thought was kind of intriguing. And, you know, 6 episodes at a time, I can sort of see Andrew saying, okay, yeah, I can do that. I'm happy enough to come back, do 6 episodes, go home again. Means he's not going to spend like 3/4 of the year in Atlanta.
Right, yeah.
I can see that being a sort of ongoing thing. That sort of makes sense. There is a sort of description, although it doesn't really give a huge amount away. Series presents an epic love story of two characters changed by a changed world, kept apart by distance, by an unstoppable power, by the ghosts of who they were. Rick and Michonne are thrown into another world built on a war against the dead and ultimately a war against the living. Can they find each other and who they were in a place and situation unlike ever they've ever known before? Are they enemies, lovers, victims, victors? Without each other, are they even alive, or will they find that they too are the Walking Dead? So it doesn't really give a huge amount away other than, you know, it's Rick and Michonne trying to find each other in some way, which we kind of knew anyway. It is going to be from Gimbel, apparently, who is serving as showrunner. So, but the fact that it's 6 episodes might actually stop him doing this sort of, here's a big cliffhanger to end on, and now we'll present something else for the next episode before resolving it. So that might actually give him, you know, he might be a bit more focused than the fact that it's 6 episodes at a time. So,
yeah, this was a brilliant announcement. We knew in some way, shape, or form Rick and Michonne had to come back. We just didn't know, because obviously we knew about the Rick films, which this has been converted into this. We had speculation about, like, okay, is Michonne, like, where is Michonne? When are we going to see her next? And these aren't like your small little red shirt characters that live at Oceanside or something. These are like Rick and Michonne.
Yeah.
They are your main characters. So, I think a 6 episode thing works best. I thought that they hinted at that, like, this would wrap up their story, but if that's not the case, then we'll have to see how that kind of goes. But last we saw Rick, he was in a helicopter, just like Jack Bauer was in 2014. Yes. Anybody remembers that? Stop taking away my heroes in helicopters. We still have no idea where Jack is. Well, we know he's in Russia, but anyway, I still miss 24. So he went off in that, and Michonne kind of, not literally walked off into the woods, but basically walked off with this unknown group of people. She may as well have just kind of walked off into the woods, and it was like, bye, I guess you're finding Rick, but we don't know when we'll see that. And then now we have this, so it was a little bit up in the air, everything. Obviously the main focus was still like, okay, we still had the main show going on, which was good. It'll be very interesting to see, because when he left in, what was it, season, I think he left in 9, she left in 10, if I remember. So it's been a while. Obviously they had the COVID issues and whatever, and they had to do the bonus episodes and stuff, but they have two options to me now, where they can either, because it would make a lot of sense if, even if it's last 5-10 minutes, Rick shows up in the finale, like the big series finale of the main show, has an emotional reunion with Judith, who he's not met Kayleigh Fleming's version. Obviously, he's met Judith, but he hasn't met the older version. And that would be like a bit different and more impactful.
Yeah.
And RJ has not seen him either. If you did like a big, and obviously you got like, you know, Ezekiel and Daryl and everybody else that's there, but obviously the big reunion would be Judith. So that would make sense. But are you going to do that or have him show up in just this? Because I think we need a Judith. As good as it would be to have these two back, I think we need a Judith and group reunion.
It's tricky that, because the way, the obvious way you could do it is you could do it with a sort of time jump with him coming back. But then the problem with putting a time jump in is you can't use Kayleigh Fleming as that version of Judith, because if you want to give a reasonable amount of time, I mean, it depends. If you're only going to put a couple of years, you probably could. But if you wanted to, say, put a 10-year time jump before Rick comes back to give you 10 years to play with, or 5 years to play with for the Rick and Michonne series, then that becomes more problematic, because you need an older actress to play an older version of Judith, if you see what I mean. You know, for that reunion. And if that reunion isn't Kayleigh, it's going to feel a bit weird. So I don't know. I don't know exactly how they play that.
Depend on when things have been filmed. I mean, there's nothing saying like Judith can't be in this new thing.
No, well, that's
other
true.
Characters can't show up there. I mean, we've had those other characters show up in World Beyond, and that was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
So, because it's not quite like MCU type stuff, but we have had some crossovers. I mean, Dwight and Morgan have gone over to Fear, so that's not an unknown quantity.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. But it's good news anyway. I'm glad that they've like kind of cleared this up and stuff. So it's something to look forward to.
Yes, definitely. One last story we have, which I thought was kind of interesting: Strange New Worlds, as we were talking about earlier, coming mm-hmm. back for a second season, will feature a crossover with Lower Decks. Apparently, which is fascinating, but the episode will apparently be a live action animation hybrid with Tawny Newsom, who plays Beckett, and Jack Quaid, who plays Brad Boimler, in it, playing the live action versions of their animated characters. Apparently, Jack Quaid, of course, is Huey from The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is an intriguing idea. Those characters all be coming across. How that will work, I don't know. There's got to be some time travel-y stuff involved, because Strange New Worlds is set in original series time, whereas Lower Decks is set in Next Generation. So there must be some time jump stuff. But I mean, that's not unheard of in Star Trek at all. So, you know, that's
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of really quite intriguing that they're talking about doing that. Jonathan Frakes is apparently going to be directing the episode. Frakes, of course, is returning as Will Riker in the third and final season of Star Trek Picard as well, along with they released some character photos of the older versions of those characters for Star Trek Picard season 3, which was nice to see. That's basically Picard season 3. It's got all the Next Generation cast coming back. Frakes has directed like hundreds of episodes of, well, not hundreds, but quite a lot of episodes of various Star Trek series and two of the feature films. So he's kind of knows what he's doing. It makes sense for him to be the person doing this crossover. But yeah, live action animation hybrid is interesting. God knows what they're going to be doing that, but yeah, apparently a crossover between Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks is on the cards.
With the live action hybrid thing, obviously Star Trek has, you know, not really sort of done that before, but I have liked where I've seen that in things, like Roger mm-hmm. Rabbit was, from what I remember from that, that was quite good.
Yeah.
Sonic did it really well. Detective Pikachu did it well. I did see that Chippendale film. That was pretty good. So I quite like that actual idea, and I think it fits with like certain characters, but a bit different in the context of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it works. Does this mean I need to get caught up on Lower Decks?
Well,
or is
I
it
mean,
more, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're saying it's a crossover, but I don't know to what extent. I don't know whether it's going to be like you need to watch one episode of each, or that could be quite difficult, because at the moment, Lower Decks is still with Prime Video in the UK.
That
will probably change at some point in the future, but at the moment, Lower Decks is still a Prime Video series, just like Picard is still a Prime Video series. So, because that's going to be awkward. Although, I mean, they do air Lower Decks the day after it airs in the US. So, I mean, they are airing it concurrently. It's going to be a pain if you haven't got a Prime subscription and you have got a Paramount Plus subscription, or whichever way around. So, it could be a case of they're just a crossover in terms of mixing the characters, and it's all in one show. We'll see.
With the Picard stuff, because I kind of dropped out halfway through season season one. So with these old characters coming back, like the legacy ones, and that's the last season. So is that like the last we're going to see of those characters?
Not necessarily the end of those. It's possibly the last we'll see of Picard, maybe. But I mean, you know, best role in the world, Patrick Stewart isn't getting any younger. But, you know, so I suspect it's certainly the end of that as a regular series. You may see those characters right. pop up at some point in the future in some other capacity, possibly.
Okay.
I mean, you could get a sort of Will Riker series, potentially. I mean, if Frakes wanted to do that, that would be an interesting kind of other thing to spin off. Mm. But certainly, this seems to be designed as a kind of reuniting of that Next Generation cast and a send-off. Certainly, it seems like a send-off for Picard. Whether it is for the rest of the cast, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
So that's all the news for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We have some interesting new stuff popping up. From, which is a sci-fi horror series about a nightmarish town that traps those who enter. It's an epic series in the US, but it's been picked up by what is now called Sky Sci-Fi. Why they didn't call it Sky-Fi, I don't know. But that's the new name for the sci-fi channel in the UK. So, yeah, that's going to be landing on the 26th of July at 9 p.m. That sounds like your sort of show, I rather suspect, a sci-fi horror thing. But so that's called From, and 26th of July on Sky Sci-Fi at 9 p.m.
I feel like I've heard that name somewhere before. Maybe if I look up a trailer or something, it'll remind me.
Yeah, maybe. Like... One of the lead in it is one of the guys from Lost, I seem to remember.
Okay.
High School Musical, the series, the summer camp thing, that's season 3. That is on the 27th of July. That's landing on Disney Plus. Under the Banner of Heaven, that's a limited series that's coming to Disney Plus. That's an original limited series inspired by the true crime bestseller. Paper Girls, which is based on the Brian K. Vaughan best-selling graphic novel about time-traveling newspaper delivery girls. I really love the book for this, and I think this could be a really good series. It's got a kind of Stranger Things vibe going for it, but that's coming to Amazon Prime, Prime Video on the 29th of July. There is a show called The Resort, which is a multi-generational coming-of-age love story described as a fast-paced mystery about the disappointment of time. That is coming to Peacock on the 29th of July, so you can go and check that out. That's The Resort. Surreal Estate, which is also coming to Sky Sci-Fi. That's on the 30th of July at 9 p.m. This is sort of a bit X-Files-y. It's a real estate agent and his elite team of specialists who handle cases that nobody else can, haunted and possessed houses that literally scare would-be buyers away. It sounds like it could be a comedy setup, but I think it is actually a drama. That's called Surreal Estate, that one, 30th of July on Sky Sci-Fi at 9 p.m. And on the 1st of August, La Brea finally gets a UK air date, randomly on Paramount Plus, which is slightly odd given it's an NBC show. So I don't know why it's on Paramount, because as far as I can tell, Paramount have zero to things to do with it. It is purely an NBC series. So it seems like it's something they've bought in. My only thinking is that there was possibly some horse trading went on where they sort of said, okay, well, if you give us these CBS shows to air on Sky, we'll give you La Brea to air on Paramount Plus. I'm guessing that's possibly what happened, but La Brea is that wonderfully bonkers sounding show where this big sinkhole mysteriously opens up in the middle of Los Angeles, trapping half the family in a primeval world underneath. It has been renewed for a second season because it did sound like it could be a one season and done show, but it has been renewed for a second season, so it is coming back. It seems like it's going to be wonderfully fun, silly, sci-fi series. So that's La Brea. That is coming to Paramount Plus on the 1st of August. It's dropping as a box set, I think, as well. You'll be able to go binge your way through that on Paramount Plus. And that is everything coming for the next week on TV. If people want to find more of your stuff, where can they find you, Matt?
You can find me over on entertainmenttalk.org for TV, games, films, May Night podcast. May Night's preseason has kicked off. Eric Ten Hag is here and we've signed 3 players, so that's brilliant. But you can, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, if you want to find us over there. Still doing Better Call Saul, still doing Westworld. May Night are coming back, as I said. Still doing some film reviews, did Thor recently, talked about Netflix's IP things and talked about other IP as well from from other places. Reviewed a couple of games recently. I think you're a cat person, aren't you? Stray came out.
Yes.
That was quite good. Did a review for Trek to Yomi yesterday as well, which is an interesting game. Still doing Game and Talk podcast with Robert. So plenty of things are still going on. And of course, there is always loads of TV to watch. So I'll be covering what I can from that. You can also find me on Twitch at eTalkUK. And if you want to find our gaming content archive, basically, it's on YouTube at Entertainment Talk Plays. So that's me.
So go and check Matt out over there. For other people involved in the show, you can also go and find Bex on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's BYTES. She's streaming daily and various evening streams. And you can go and check out all the fun and silliness over there. You can go and find Daryl over in HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love that are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geekdown.co.uk. Throughout the week, you can see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram @geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.